right, everybody. Welcome to the Past Times Podcast. Each week we go through an old newspaper from a random date in history picked out by Dave Anthony. I'm Gareth Reynolds, and I've never seen it before, and neither is our guest this week,
James Adomian. Hello, James.
Hey, Gareth. How you doing?
Do you know, James, that it's very difficult for me because you might have the most quoted line on our podcast that I've done over 500 episodes of, and you were on one time, and you have...
Mightn't I the gristle?
There are tattoos.
Really?
I mean, really, when you think about it, it is...
Jesus Christ.
And of course I take it on the ego, but it is... I mean, you have... arguably the best moment in our show. I mean, it was just a murderous moment.
That was a fun
time. So thank
time.
You so much for joining us.
That was a fun
That was
time.
Great.
That was back, that was pre-code. That was before laughter that was outlawed.
That was during mingle right. times, the mingle days, when you could share a joint with a fella and be fine.
We'll have you back on the dollop also.
Yeah, but sure. We're going to need to...
Oh, this
well,
isn't
I'll
the dollop?
Go through this.
I'm
this
out.
This is basically the dollop. No, it's the
what?
Dollop.
No.
Listen, just stick around. Give us a half hour. Please, James. James, we should say that you are doing stand-up. Some of it is pending. I know that situation. So the best way to figure out, not only to figure out what your stand-up dates are, but also to see your hilarious characters and impressions, your Instagram, which is jadomian, A-D-O-M-I-A-N.
Yeah,
is, jadomian
on Instagram, and... I have tentative dates. They're booked in February in Seattle and Portland and Vancouver. And I'm hoping that they can happen. We'll see.
Those are fairly liberal-ish cities, so you probably get most vax and masked there, right?
I guess so, yeah. But what I do mean? Only anti-vax, anti-mask shows.
I love that about you.
Okay. That's good.
No vax, no mask.
I'm going to start saying, I'm going to say Mightn't I the Gristle 4 or 5 times on this episode and try to own it. Make it mine.
James is pro letter rip. He's got a t-shirt on that says COVID letter rip. He's got hats that say COVID letter rip. He's all about letter rip.
I got that's a herd great. Immunity tattoo.
Spelled with an A.
It's a cow. It's a cow. It's like the Borden cheese cow with like sunglasses on it.
You heard
immunity? Did you have you heard?
Have you heard? All right. Well, you basically know what we're doing here. Dave is going. Dave has a fucking weirdo paper from probably the 1800s. Dave.
This one is from 1890. You are correct.
Okay, we're close.
Wednesday, March 12th. 1890, Middleton, New York.
As we're panning down at a city while the hustle and bustle and carriages move amongst them.
Hello, I sell canes to men with bowler hats.
It might have died the gristle. See? Again, it's happening. I'm owning it.
It never stops. This is the Middletown Times Press. That is
Where
the
is
paper.
In New York.
Middletown is about... it's about 75 miles sort of northwest of
Is it in the middle?
New York City. Not even in the middle. It's just a little ways outside of New York City. It's
okay.
The city of Middletown makes an appearance in a few Jerky Boys tracks that I loved from the 90s.
Say
I
no
live,
more.
I live in Middletown. Thank you. I'll bring my shoes and my glasses so I have them.
All right, guys.
Dave, front page.
Well, we're coming in hot on page one. The headline is "Another Death from Malpractice." Miss Lucy McInnes, a pretty waitress, died from the effects of malpractice.
God damn, we lost another pretty one.
Not the pretty ones. Henry Duggan, one of her admirers, has disappeared and is being searched for. The physician who performed the operation is to be arrested.
Wait a minute.
That's the whole story.
That's the lead,
and it is
or
missing
that's the whole
lot.
Story.
That's the whole story.
That's
it's
what I
missing
love about,
a lot.
Yeah, we really eventually understood that people wanted more than just sort of like the trailer.
How do you drop in Henry Duggan? One of her admirers has disappeared, and like that's just out of nowhere. What does that have to do with the malpractice?
Well,
you can see how journalism. It has roots very strongly rooted in just neighborhood gossip. Oh, it's that Duggan boy.
Yeah.
It's that Duggan boy again.
Yeah.
Was that the headline across the banner, like war, we are at war kind of headline, or was that little column on the side?
A lot of these papers back then don't have that. So this one doesn't have that. It's just like there's just a bunch of little stories and no big headline.
Got it.
And again, I know I've said it before, but also not that's a pretty good front pager, because a lot of times it will just be like, pig sick.
Oh yeah. Well, I got this one right here. Businesses paralyzed in Cairo. Cairo, Illinois, about one half of this city is submerged and business is paralyzed. The only means of communication being by boat. That's the whole story. It is almost it's almost the same as the headline. There's not much more.
I was disappointed. I had a wonderful image with the headline that it was somehow going to be an Egyptian story that had made it to New York.
Yeah.
And I was like, I do like,
oh no. They just had somebody come in on a wagon from Illinois.
Cairo, Illinois. The watery city.
The confluence of the Mississippi and the Ohio.
Yeah.
Beautiful Cairo. Beautiful Cairo.
Gorgeous Cairo.
Instead of pyramids, we have churches.
And so there was just, it was a boat town. By the way, I can't imagine what people did with a flooded city. I'm glad I'll get to find out in my lifetime.
That's right.
Like Venice.
Luckily, they have the hard-hitting investigative reporting of that one-sentence story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll have something to go back to, that one line.
Remember, the date here is it's March 1890, so this headline says Abraham Lincoln's funeral. London.
I'm not the historical guy. When did he get up?
He died a while in the 60s.
25 years before this.
Okay, so they were getting it right, which I like. I like a quarter century gap. Go ahead, David.
London, March 8th. The funeral services over the remains of Abraham Lincoln were conducted by the Reverend Mr. Gibson of Chicago. Only the members of the American, I don't know what that says, Legation being present. The remains were convoyed to the catacombs in Kensal Green, where they will temporarily repose. The floral offerings were numerous, the coffin being completely hidden by a bank of flowers.
What?
So was he here, disinterred and moved?
What was beard's deal?
That's what I thought, and then I looked it up.
It's a different guy named Abraham Lincoln.
It's grandson?
His grandson, who they named Abraham Lincoln.
Who didn't live very long.
Well, it worked out good for the first guy. So he died when he was like 19.
That's the earliest form of clickbait. Abraham Lincoln dead again.
Oh, God damn it, it's an ad.
Double dead Lincoln.
Another
Where did
dead
they put the
Lincoln.
Body this time?
I didn't know they reanimated him, honey.
It's
they got him again.
It's like what the History Channel does with, like, did Hitler breed dinosaurs?
Well, also, it would make sense because we did a dollop episode on it where, like, what was that? Like, Lincoln's body was just moved around. I mean, just basically on tour, right?
Yeah, it did a tour of the
city. And then they were like
a train, and
then it was just jumping from mausoleum to mausoleum.
Yeah, they had a whole, like, people are going to dig up Lincoln thing, so they kept, you know, burying the shit out of it.
So it's exciting.
I think that's the technical term that historians use, burying the shit out of it.
You're the doctor of the show.
Yeah, I'm the doctor of the
show. And then so his grandson was covered in flowers just because he was an Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a big deal when another...
Some people didn't get the chance to put flowers on the first one.
So this one, you boys, it's going to be it's a rite of passage. You're a man now.
It's like I just saw, the John Bonham's son do the concert at the Greek Theater. And he's like, I am too late to see Led Zeppelin, but I want to go see, you know, the Led Zeppelin experience. For sure I do.
Yeah. He's awesome though, right?
He is awesome. Jason Bonham, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're just like, choke on puke, choke on puke.
I love, yeah. Can you imagine growing up as Abraham Lincoln, what incredible reputation achievements that is to live up to?
Yeah. That's also, a tough I mean, if it was around me, I'd be like, where's your dumb hat?
And then people would lean on you for wisdom, and you'd be like, a house divided against itself sucks, man. It sucks.
So it's like 30 years ago. No, do the score thing.
It's a bad house. Okay, so like 80 years ago, my dad said something.
Yeah. No, like 6 score.
He does. I pulled up a picture of him. He doesn't look anything like Abraham Lincoln.
It's hard to look like Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln was a tall weirdo.
No mustache, beard, weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope he looks unique. And then you show us the picture and it's just Sean Lennon.
He looks like, first of all, his nickname was Jack.
Sure, that works.
Because you got to be like, why the fuck did you name
Jack
me?
Jack Lincoln.
Yeah.
I mean, my name's Jack Lincoln. I'm a Pinkerton man.
What did he do? Was he a Lincoln reenactor?
That would be great.
Was he I gave you a picture in the chat.
Oh, let me see this.
This always goes well for me.
He died. He died really, really young. He died when he was 19.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It seemed.
He was 21.
Oh, okay. He looks He looks like a normal person for back then.
Yeah, he looks tall. He doesn't look like a weirdo.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He takes after Mary Todd.
Yeah, he's got Mary Todd stash.
Oh, he is a lawyer. He is a lawyer.
He doesn't have any of. He looks. How does the Abraham Lincoln have a hot grandson? He has, he has like a fuckable mustache. He doesn't look gaunt.
No. I'm sorry. Wait. Hold on, James. Did you say a fuckable mustache?
Yeah, he's got a fuckable mustache. This Abraham Lincoln has a fuckable mustache.
Way better. That's a better name too. And he's wearing 18 layers of clothes like they did back then. I wouldn't mind seeing him crumpled up at the end of the bed.
If you're looking for a name for your band, you just found it.
Fuckable mustache.
We're playing
Jason Bonham
mustache. We're playing Irvine, Asheville,
Spectrum,
Oxford, Mississippi,
the Spectrum Center.
We're playing the Spectrum Center.
Flappers.
Who does he look?
Oh, so we got a.
He looks like a couple of actors from like.
You are not allowed to be an actor in the Lincoln family. That's one thing I'm sure. No actors!
I would have no theater in this household.
Yeah. He died at the age of 21. That's too bad.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
Oh, so he was too young to have known his grandfather then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, by the way, I don't want to bring it down, but so is I. Go ahead, Dave, I guess so is I.
Dodged a bullet.
Wow.
Oh, all right. That's, I'm afraid you're on Pastime Podcast probation, James. We don't bring it out a lot, but when we do, it's for real.
That's the secret rule.
Yeah.
This is an ad. The Elixir of Life.
There we go.
The Elixir of Life is a fine, white, mealy, upland potato. They are stars at 75 cents per bushel in lots of 10 bushels and up. Don't fail to put in your winter supply out of our car.
What? The pitch
Man.
Is...
We've pitch got great is... potatoes. Does it have a contact information? Is there any way to find the potatoes?
Yeah. Just find the car. Just find potato car.
It just says store at Erie Crossing on West Main Street.
Yeah, just look for the car that's full of potatoes.
Well, if it's an advertisement, it has to be down at the store. Where else would it be?
Yeah.
Oh, the Elixir of Life. Potatoes!
That's it?
I was going to say, I think of elixirs as being liquid, and I don't think of potatoes as being liquid. And
I do too.
Elixir to me sounds like Vincent Price carries it around in a little bottle around his neck or something. The Elixir, gentlemen, the Elixir. Yeah.
But they were also all sort of bullshit, too. So why would you not just put, like, a little potato in the liquid and be, you know, you want the vial angle, I feel like. You don't want to buy an elixir and then have someone hand you a potato. You'd be like, wait, this is bullshit.
Maybe the bar is very low back then where it's like, hey, if it's just food that will keep you from starving for a day, that's the Elixir of Life.
Yeah.
Another headline, page one. Another mystery.
There we go.
The body of an unknown man found near Penniland, Pennsylvania.
So I haven't heard any new. There's been no news from Middletown. It's all over.
Yeah, so far, there's not a lot going on.
They went to Cairo, Illinois. Mm-hmm. They went to the Abraham Lincoln funeral across time.
That was in London.
That was in London.
And then this
This is in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
No hometown
pride.
There's
not much happening.
They take it where they can get it.
It's that classic Middletown deflection.
Yeah. It's that Middletown mentality.
The body of an unknown man was found early this morning along the tracks of the North Penn Railroad. His coat, vest, and pocketbook lay not far away. The body did not look as if death ensued from a railroad accident, and the coroner is making a thorough investigation. Papers found on the body indicate that the man was a Philadelphian, aged 65 years. Okay, here's the great thing about this story, is that it is headlined, Another Mystery!
Another mystery.
Like...
That not only would that not even make the news today in Philadelphia or anywhere else, like the coroner might not even do an autopsy. He would be like, "Yeah, some guy died down by the railroad track again."
Yeah. Especially if you're 65. Like, I feel like 65 today, you'd be like, "Yeah, well, it's old age." I mean, it's not that old, but you wouldn't be like at 65 then is like a 90-year-old.
Oh yeah. You're an ancient
90-year-old man dead. You'd be like, that's front page news. How did it happen? Someone should have given him that potato.
Oh, the elixir of life.
Is the elixir of life, where is it adjacent where is it relative to the mystery death story? How's the juxtaposition?
They're not close to each other. They're a little bit apart on the page.
Poles, if you might think of it that way.
Yeah.
Johnson, you put another dead guy story next to my potato elixir.
Another goddamn dead dog dedication. Another goddamn Pennsylvania 65-year-old death story next to my elixir of life.
How am I supposed to go into a mystery about a mystery about a man dying when you have that next to the elixir story? Dave, do you know what that's from? You look baffled.
Yeah, what's that from?
That's Casey Kasem.
It's the outtakes.
Oh, yeah.
A goddamn dead dog dedication.
dog dying.
A drunken doctor's terrible crime.
Whoa.
Doctor, and this is in Nebraska.
What the? It's a good local slice.
But these are local stories really from everywhere else. And where is this one now?
This paper is in Middletown. But
this is now
this
a story from Nebraska.
Moorfield, yeah. Nebraska is where the story's out of.
Yeah.
Dr. C.D. Blair is under arrest, charged with manslaughter for horribly mutilating a woman named Miss Quicker, whom he was called to attend during confinement. He was intoxicated and used a common pocket knife.
Oh, my God.
He cut off one of the child's arms and cut the woman so badly she died on the third day after the operation. I think it was childbirth.
And he cut off an arm?
Yeah, that's a really bad doctor.
Is that the umbilical thing?
Worst doctor ever. Okay, I made a hole. No.
Time to smoke cigars. And it's a baby arm. Yes, lucky for you, it's a boy.
Let's celebrate the birth of your daughter with one of these cigars.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's hard to imagine him not visibly hiccuping in this scene.
That's right. Okay.
He's not bouncing up and down with each hiccup.
Pep talking himself. You can do it. Let him know.
He has the stethoscope, but he's listening to the chair.
I don't hear anything.
And how long you had two extra legs? That's cool. Okay.
People are intensely excited, and the doctor is under strong guard to prevent lynching.
Wow.
Yeah, that makes sense. They want to kill the doctor.
Oh, fuck. That's Nebraska for you.
He did really bad doctoring.
I mean, I would say it's close to some of the medical care that's received nowadays.
Also, true. Was it like 10 p.m., 11 p.m., and he was pulled from like a billiard room, or was he drunk at like surgery time, like at 9 a.m.?
This is a fair question. If it's party time, then it's on them. If it's daytime, then it's on him.
That's right. You shouldn't have called me during party time. I said when I said you could be my patient, that I was like, okay, it's not party time. It's not the time for babies.
Your honor is a sworn oath as a Methodist of the Bible. I'm a physician. But on my honor, I took the hippopotamus oath.
Oh boy! Oh my god!
Yeah, I just remember him saying like, he had to be quick.
Can we have a player piano going while this man testifies?
He just kept saying he had to hurry up. It's Jeremy only turns 24 once. I gotta make moving.
Here's another. Oh, this is from. This looks like it's from. This is a local story.
Whoa.
Got
local paper unable to cover town.
This is the headline. Got 50 tons of ice. Anyhow.
There we go.
It's a little weird. It's like they're talking to someone that's not there.
It's a complaint. It sounds like a complaint from some guy on a river. Well, 50 tons of ice. Anyhow.
Overheard on a river.
Dr. David Miller was fortunate enough to secure at least 50 tons of ice this winter. He has filled his ice house with it, and it is of good quality. It will be used for his milk dairy. Many a butcher in this city would like to have some of that ice, but Mr. Miller is not anxious to part with it, being well satisfied at having secured enough for his own use in this ice-scarce season.
Wow. I can see him thumping his chest. He has a barrel chest, and he's patting the sides of his ribs.
Ice, gentlemen, comes seasonally. If the temperature is not sufficiently cold, I should imagine the price is accelerated substantially for those of us who happen to be fortunate enough to hold it. Yes, yes.
I mean, an ice baron. We will return to ice barons one day.
Yeah, this is
right?
Baron stuff.
I'm not looking to part with this ice.
Gentlemen, a pound of frost in hand is worth an entire rink worth of skating ice, you see.
I just like that they printed a story just so they could tell other people they couldn't have the ice.
This guy's got a bunch of ice.
Well, it seems like it's kind of probably written at the behest of the ice baron. Dr. Miller, was it?
Oh, yeah.
And he's
yeah.
probably like,
yeah.
Say, I have a large amount of this ice that has come into my possession. no need to know how. But I was wondering if you might...
yeah.
Perhaps a story could be planted in your paper.
By the way, how did he get so much ice? Do we know how he got the ice?
No, I think they just cut it from the river. That's usually how
they
get it.
Yeah, here's how genius. I'm sure almost every year he had the most ice because he had probably like a curve in the river in his backyard or whatever.
Yeah.
The Middletown Creek curved a couple of times, so he was like, well, I sent my 12 boys out to harvest the ice. Only lost one this year.
Well, it's just nice to hear a doctor doing good finally as opposed to cutting off baby arms.
That's right. This is another out-of-town story. Providence, Rhode Island, a bank to discontinue business. The stockholders of Union Bank, by a vote of 3,588 to 515, decided to wind up affairs of the bank. This is also the bank from which teller Charles Pitcher stole all the cash in June 1888.
So there.
So it took them a year and a half to go what? Gentlemen? Gentlemen, I propose that we dissolve this corporation.
Yeah, the optimism at we will rebuild. He will not root. A bank doesn't need money to survive, is my contention.
Jimmy, we've been in business for a year and a half now, and it just keeps becoming pretty apparent that we actually do need money.
You know, a lot of these assholes keep coming in for withdrawals.
This is the other
way. The teller took the money.
This is the other way.
The teller took the money.
It's a Wonderful Life could have ended. It's it's the same kind of scene, except it's like instead of the whole community coming in and like bringing money, they're like, I also vote to shut the damn thing down. It was a fool's idea to begin with, and you made us all poor.
fired four shots at his wife.
There we go.
George Ward, a spinner, fired four shots at his wife, missing her every time, and then shot himself in the abdomen, but not seriously.
Wow, he really missed at the end.
He's really bad.
So wait,
at this.
He shot at his wife four times and missed all four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
he was like, I can't take how bad I am. I'm ending it. God, missed the head.
So here's the thing. If you're doing a murder-suicide and you have failed at the murder part, you don't need to follow through with the suicide part.
But if you are going to do it, get it right.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the place you can shoot yourself to bleed out the slowest?
I mean, yeah, it's like, he's like, I wanted my brain to be studied for how to not be accurate.
Also, if you're yourself in the abdomen not seriously, back then that's like, he'll be dead in 2 weeks.
Yeah, right. Right, for sure. The doctor just comes over and cuts his arm off. That'll be 104 cents.
Here's the status of medical science. If you're wounded on any limb, you'll survive without the limb. If you're wounded anywhere on your body, from your head to your entire torso, you're immediately dead.
It's a death sentence.
Okay, gentlemen. I took out his eyes.
An owl. Here it is, sir. One owl for the doctor.
His wife left him 5 weeks ago and has been staying at a farmhouse near town. Ward went to see the house, and after some words, the shooting occurred.
I don't think he went to see the house.
He's under arrest.
Check out that house and make sure.
Want to make sure she's safe in that big house of hers on the farm. Take the revolver in case they need to shoot a wall down or something. Make it a little bit more of an open area. Get a billiard room.
On page 3, we got another shot. Shot himself through the head is the headline.
That's how you do it.
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. God, the names are so good. J.B. Potbone.
J.B. Potbone?
J.B. Potbone. A well-known citizen here, age 32 years, committed suicide by shooting himself in the head. He just returned home from a business trip to Pittsburgh. No cause is assigned for his self-murder.
Self-murder?
That is, I mean, there's a good writer instinct there, which is not to repeat a word. I will give them.
Yeah.
But there are not enough terms for the word suicide. But
that would be like calling masturbation hand jobbing myself.
Well.
That's a Wilkes-Barre guy. Again, I guess Wilkes-Barre starts to be within, what, a 2 days ride of Middletown? By horse?
Yeah, that's right.
One day by railroad, 2 days by horse.
Here's a whole section of local stuff. It's correspondence.
You're on page 3.
Dr. Nelson recently.
The local news of this town on page 3.
Almost done.
And maybe you'll see why they don't actually cover stuff in Middletown. Dr. Nelson recently purchased a Benton Spring carriage of DJ Roberts.
Whoa, fuck. Crazy.
Why?
That happened here?
A Benton Spring carriage. Yes, the rocks and crannies are fairly felt at all with a spring carriage of such finery.
Yeah. Miss P. Holbert is gaining slowly. That's the
Miss
whole...
Miss P. Holbert?
P. Holbert is gaining slowly. That's
gaining
the
what
whole,
slowly? Wait.
We don't know.
Momentum? Speed?
Everybody knows, though, because
Friends?
It's Middletown.
Oh,
so they all
Mrs.
know what she's gaining.
Oh, Mrs.
Oh, this
Holbert.
Is in the wink-wink column.
Mrs.
She's
Holbert.
Still putting on weight!
Well, she was found after 4 weeks with no food at all, and they've been trying to slowly supper her back to health. Mrs. Tolbert.
We're making Mr. P. Holt pate. Go ahead, Dave.
It got better. Tom F. O'Brien saw a flock of 10 wild geese flying over the Terry Graham Farm, February 27th, going north.
Wow. This journal. Go ahead.
This is just now people that have run into a bar yelling something. Hey, I saw a fucking goose.
Well, it's holy going in the shit. Paper. What are your first two initials and last name?
I think that you should get a publicist because you're about to blow up.
You're not going to be able to walk down the streets of Middletown after this gets out.
A flock of geese headed north, of all things.
And it was five. They're like, five won't grab them. We'll do 10. The journalist room at the paper must have been amazing. What was passed on for the local news? Shoelace broken.
I've got it. Maybe that's like a groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil type thing, where it's in March, and they're like, the geese are already flying north. That means it's a mild. That means it's going to be an early spring.
It's an early geese year.
The Tolbert boy saw it.
I don't believe there's 10 geese in the world, let alone here.
A man who would insult a goose and his gosling is not a man that I care to share a table with.
Here. D.A. Robertson intends to leave off making butter and will sell milk. He will be a new beginner at that.
Oh, fuck. Wow. What a boring town.
What do you mean, boring town? There's tons of ice. There's milk without butter, somehow. Butter to be discarded, milk to be drunk and sold. And there's geese flying overhead, north, early.
Over 9 geese. Did you hear he's making the big switch? He's going from butter to milk.
Oh, this is sad. It ends with Mrs. Morrison is quite seriously sick with pneumonia. We can be sure she didn't make it.
Oh, Mrs. Morrison, she's quite seriously ill. Well, isn't that a terrible shame?
It's nice.
So this is just the newspaper is just for, it's like, there's probably like 4 different churches in town. So this is just for whatever people are gossiping about in each individual church. They need it in print so all the other churches know about it.
100% yes.
It's like a school paper.
Yeah. Like, this is another local story. Headline, slipped and broke 2 ribs.
Wow.
You guys can probably already guess what happens, but Mrs. Emmett Smith, who resides, or
Emmett
Mr.
Smith.
Emmett Smith.
Oh, I was going to say.
That's the one. Who resides near the reservoir, while at work in a barn on his place, slipped and fell, breaking and splitting one rib and fracturing another close to the spinal column. It will probably lay Mr. Smith up for several months.
I mean, he's slipping on that. I don't know. Is he allowed to use ice? Is he in the Ice Baron's barn?
Now we're starting to see how he may have acquired. There's a mystery here. The Ice Baron with his tons of ice. Maybe he was pushing this other guy around.
You know? Go get more ice. You hear?
More.
Now I'm just
more. I need enough ice to take it down to Manhattan. You fool.
That's the other thing. Ice are very, I mean, at that time, a hard thing to sell, right?
They were trying to pump it up. They were really
melting capital.
It's worthless in a month.
You said this was ice. I swear to God it was when I left.
It depreciates in value pretty quick.
Yeah. When
you drive it off the lot, it's already...
And he's sweat while the Ice Baron's still trying to talk up he's sweating and he's like it's still a large consignment of ice in my possession. Others have tried to harvest it and had some terrible, terrible accidents. Perhaps I could be willing to part for some of it at a reasonable price.
Oh shit.
Sweating on his ice as it melts.
Charles Edsel, son of J.S. Edsel of this village, has secured a position as teller in the National Bank of Orange County and will enter upon his duties next week.
Orange County.
Has lately been in the grocery business in Rutherford Park. His wife is a sister of Charles Jackson, late postmaster.
Wait, there's a lot going on in this one. This is a whole, I feel like this story is the equivalent of somebody unrolling a bunch of credentials that fall down to the ground.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's not much to the story, so this writer was like, what if I just explain who all the relatives are?
And essentially, a man just became a teller at a bank.
Yeah, a man got a job as a teller at a bank, and they just fluffed up the story quite a bit.
Right, they're like, it's good, but it's not great.
I mean, they're just all, yeah. I mean, the local stories of Peter Kramer, jeweler, is confined to the house with illness. So they're good.
People's fortunes split one of two ways. Either you're sitting on Easy Street with ice and milk, or there's a terrible illness and everyone needs to know about it.
He couldn't kill his wife, so he almost killed himself.
Well, no sympathy needed there.
Mr. Charles Sweezy of Middletown was in town on Monday repairing a church organ and doing other work.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. and Mrs. Rockefeller of Middletown spent Saturday and Sunday in town.
Are those separate stories? Because together they're nothing, but apart they're less.
They're together. I don't know why they're together.
That's not an A to B. That's potentially just two A's. Wow.
Can you imagine that when you're like, oh, you know what? I think I got to zip over to Culver City today. That makes the news in Culver City.
James Adomian heads to Culver City.
Spends the day
walking around downtown Culver City.
He tinkered. He tinkered on a box while he was there.
He sat down on a rock. This is huge.
Well, oh, hello, Mrs. Mrs., it's a Monday. Would you mind spending the day with me in town? Well, I'd be delighted, Frank.
Lady fans herself.
If you come with me to town, I'm sure we'll make the papers.
Man throws rock.
Jimmy winks.
Testicle injured.
Here's one. Clairvoyant examination free.
Here we go. Well, wow.
Is it an ad?
Well, I wouldn't go to a fucking doctor in this time. You're talking about a potato elixir, maybe.
Well, the doctors come drunk and cut your baby up, so it's not a good.
So yeah, you're just like, anybody, I don't go to doctors.
Anybody who doesn't cut you open might actually be safer.
Yeah, it really is. Yes. At that point where it's like, I think that about like dentistry in England. It's like, maybe it's just as good to not go.
by Dr. E.F. Butterfield. Mm-hmm. At That's the Madison House, Middletown.
F. Butterfield.
Dr. E.F. Butterfield, an initiate in the mysteries of the East. Yes.
Used to be Butterfingers, but I changed it. People were hesitant.
Are you prepared to see beyond the veil with Dr. Butterfield?
On Tuesday, March 18th until 5 p.m., the doctor will give anyone suffering from any disease,
no matter
how long standing, a clear, pointed, and correct diagnosis of their condition without asking any questions or having any previous knowledge of the case.
That's what we call medically dangerous.
That's...
Also,
you have a heart.
Here's another thing. If the main point of it was actually to heal people, what's the problem with them giving you a little bit of information about what's wrong?
It's amazing. It is. It really
that actually
is.
Probably
amazing.
Would help. It would help to describe some of the symptoms to the
but
doctor.
But it's not a hook. The thing that you're missing is it's not a hook.
But that's not the real reason. The real reason is people go, oh, he wasn't even told anything about it. He's truly a clairvoyant. He doesn't want to heal. He wants to prove.
Stop.
Yes.
Stop talking.
It's about him. It's all about him.
Stop! You have a tumor right near your heart.
Why?
Oh, my foot hurts.
That would explain but my melancholy.
I have a broken foot. Ah!
It arises in the
heart. Too much information.
It arises in the heart. Yes, you see. Yes.
It's all intertwined. The body.
to point out the causes of disease and prescribe remedies appropriate to a cure. So he's not going to take any questions.
What is it? It's crazy. I mean, I would love to go to a doctor now, and you just sit there and let them like kind of, you know, kind of pitch what they think of it. No, warmer. It's kind of like that. It is related to the butt. Yeah.
I definitely see a scene with a bunch of like poor people lined up in like dirty dress clothes in Middletown.
Yeah.
What was his last name? Butterfield. Dr. Butterfield.
Butterfield.
Is sitting on a wooden, like a stage of crates, and he's leaning on a cane, and he goes, next. And then some poor girl comes up, and he just looks, and he cranes around, and he goes, Dropsy. 5 gallons of milk. Next.
Sorry, doctor, what do I have? Yeah, 5 gallons of milk.
On with it, girl.
I would love to know how to. Okay, thank you so much. He's amazing. He's the best doctor I've seen since my mother was killed in childbirth by having my sister's arm removed.
Doctor, please, doctor, tell me what I should do.
Yeah. There's a pallor to the skin. I have to declare it. An overabundance of nutrients. Starve thyself. Starve yourself for at least 3 months. On with it.
Thank you.
Next.
Thank you. Oh, he's wonderful. He's
so good.
He might have an intense rivalry with the potato guy, or he might be the potato elixir guy.
You know, my roots are in potato elixirs, but...
My root is potato.
Once again, I have to suggest that you eat potatoes. You just got a giant pile of potatoes. Here you go.
That'd be $50 to have a potato.
Perhaps there's a glut of ice in your system. I recommend as a remedy potato.
Mash this.
Some have called it the elixir of life.
I think that was you, Doctor.
What? And he's literally long enough ago that he would actually have a cape and be like, how dare you speak to me in such a way?
Leave the clairvoyant, Doctor!
So this goes on. We especially ask those to call who are given up by other physicians as incurable, as there is still hope of cure if the true cause of the disease is reached. The final sentence is, he cures every case of piles.
Ugh, fuck. What? It's like, there are so many times when I don't want to live in the 1800s. And, like, it's that condenses it very perfectly.
Medical science, I love, he's one of these guys who's like, the reigning so-called wisdom of medical science has looked over the true cause of piles, and I alone, Dr. Butterfield, have discovered it. The right true treatment of any case of piles, be it man, woman, or beast, is to cover the wounded area in saltpeter and gunpowder, slather in a small layer of honey, and leave the person alone for 3 weeks.
I wonder how many people were leaving there with piles diagnoses. I got piles too. I have piles.
Piles.
We all have piles.
I got piles.
Piles.
Yeah, that's what he said. I have
3 weeks of potatoes.
Man, you're lucky you only have 2 weeks of potatoes. I'm on a month. My piles are bad. He's the best.
I have.
And it's also
my practice has amounted to a pile of piles.
If you are suggesting that only like the terminally ill come to you, it is going to be difficult to get complaints as well. It's kind of a shrewd business model.
Yes.
Where, you know, most people are probably not going to come back in 3 weeks to be like, that wasn't what it was. They're just going to die.
That's
by
right.
That time, we might be as far as Wilkes-Barre or even Cairo.
We might be in Cairo, Illinois by then.
So this headline is a word about carpets.
Well, you've already overstated.
It is a positive fact. The price of carpets is lower in Middletown than any other place in the country.
We're going to Middletown to get them.
We all go to get carpets there. It is also equally as true that there is not another city on the face of the earth where carpet dealers do not charge for the waste in cutting.
For cutting the carpet?
Right.
So they charge you.
They have to waste some of it when they cut it and into the shape of a carpet. Here's my question. Are they saying that they also in Middletown don't charge for the wasted cuttings, or they're saying if you're asking why we charge for it, then there's no place on earth where they wouldn't?
Oh, that's a good question.
I felt like they were bragging that they don't charge for that.
I think they might be lowering the bar for themselves and going in. And if you're complaining about the cutting fee,
I hope you know that.
No place on earth would ever sell you a carpet without charging for the cutting. Every man must pay the price of his drippings.
The consequences of all this is that job lots, goods from auctions, odds and ends, in fact, anything that could be bought a little off price has been placed on the Middletown market. We don't pretend to compete with this class of goods. We don't make and lay carpets for nothing as we pay our workmen every Saturday night.
Is that a quote? Is that in quotes?
That's that's what they said.
That's just in the story.
Is the story just a quote?
I don't think it's a story. I'm thinking this is an ad.
Okay. Oh, this is a story, Dave.
Our new spring stock is now ready. All the new patterns.
Spring stock of carpet. Oh, you're going to love what we harvested this winter. We got some great spring carpet.
Oh, it's time to get rid of the winter carpets. New patterns and very handsome. The best we've ever shown.
That's a handsome cut of carpet right there, I'll tell you.
Leave me alone
with the carpet. Shut the door.
Oh, no.
I'm going to cut it myself.
I'll be...
Mrs.,
shut me away for a few hours. I'll be finishing the carpet.
I'll be installing if you... never mind. Just shut the goddamn door. I want to be alone with the rug.
Oh, in here, yes. Yes, you fine carpet, you see, yes.
Free cutting, either way. Oh.
Well, Mr. Carpet, that is a very fuckable mustache.
I love the new spring look. Have you seen the mustached carpets?
This is one crucial therapy that Dr. Butterfield shall use for treating his piles patients.
You have piles. Go home and bang your carpet.
Rub the inflamed joints on the carpet. Yeah. It's tender and handsome.
We have made a special effort
to
tone up the carpet trade in our city this season. Call and see it. Call and see if we have not got the goods that will do it. It is a pleasure to show the goods.
Wow, this really is a fuckable carpet.
That is.
They never say who they are.
You don't need that information.
You know.
You'll smell that carpet.
It's down at the market. Look.
It's in the market.
There's a creek backed up with ice. And then
a trunk of a potato car.
And then there's a bunch of like churches and farms. There's like downtown and you're going to see the carpets.
You will.
If you're seeing the newspaper, you probably can look up and see the carpet.
Look to your right probably. It's there.
This is a story out of Bismarck, North Dakota.
Local.
Pulled the Attorney General's nose. Representative Walsh yesterday pulled Attorney General Goodwin's nose in one of the corridors of the Capitol for having mentioned his name in connection with the recent lottery scandal.
A bit of scuttlebutt from the Dakota Territory. Yes. Uh-huh.
I don't know what I'd do if someone pulled my nose. It's one of those moves where you would be like, it would disarm you on a level where they would have enough time to get away with it, because I would still be like, what was that?
Yeah.
Pulling
you'd be
noses.
Totally shocked.
There you go. A squeezing a honker. That ought to teach you.
Right back at you, Goodwin.
A man's cheeky enough, he'll lose his nose.
That'll teach
Goodwin, him. Goodwin made an effort to retaliate. There are reports that a duel will grow out of the affair.
A nose duel. I'll meet you in the town square. First one to yank off the other guy's schnoz wins.
But it is not generally believed that the Attorney General, though not lacking courage, will attempt to get even according to the code.
What a time when you could pull an Attorney General's nose and there would be no retaliation. We can put in the Hague now.
It's crazy.
Also, if you're grabbing, why is it so hard to retaliate? If you're grabbing someone's nose, you're easily within not only punching range, but like,
yeah.
If you have a walking stick, you could shove someone. He's right up at you, pulling your nose.
He's grabbing your nose.
You go into the mind palace of overwhelmed of what to actually do. Where I mean, your nose was pulled. It's also cute. It's like uncle assault. look what I got. I'll see you later, old attorney. Imagine if I just went up to Merrick Garland and yanked his nose. Hey, you little fuck.
Yeah, that's like it's like he put him in a headlock and rubbed his head with vigor.
I sentence him to 4 years of noogies.
So this is some international news.
Oh, whoa.
The czar threatened by women. St. Petersburg.
I always remember hearing this the women torturing the czars. That's sort of what I always remember.
During the past 4 days, the czar has received many dozens of letters, all of which have come from women. These communication contains threats of death for flogging exiles in Siberia.
Wow. That's dark.
Wow, that takes a while. It takes a while, but they do get them.
You can see the think tanks even back then were planting Russiaphobia in the local stories. It was very important.
That's so true. Bizarre.
Oh, news of the day. Henry.
By the way, amazing to put news of the day at the end of your four-page paper.
It is on page 4.
Here's the headline.
Also, there's other news. I don't know nothing about 1890. There was shit going on back then. What is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, Grover Cleveland is president or something? No, he's... It's still the guy before him. What? Harrison Hayes, one of those guys.
I'm your guy.
There's like Hawaii is a scandal, or controversy at the time. There's shit going on in the world, and they haven't talked about.
Yeah, but I don't know if you've seen these spring carpets. These are really you can take Hawaii all you want. An attorney general's nose was honked. Okay.
Also, young J.C. Jenkins' son is now a teller at the bank.
It's pretty big. And another bank closed. So lots of shit happened.
I became a journalist in Middletown because I wanted to be a witness to history.
I'll tell you, I don't know if we're ever going to be able to cap this wagon wheel saga.
News of the day, Henry Stanley has finished the last pages of his forthcoming book.
Wow, I mean, that is some PR. Like that's planted.
I would... Not, I almost thought that the story was someone finished reading a book.
Oh, that would be.
They should put a
man finished novel.
There should be a story at the end of the newspaper that's like, and local reader has finished reading this paper of note.
What the fuck? That's very meta. It's me. Man finished whole paper.
Okay, well we're gonna close on this. It's a little longer. Story out of New Jersey.
By the way, if you're saying it's
page,
a little...
Page four,
and a little longer in this paper is like four sentences.
Oh, yeah. This is a...
It's a doozy.
This is three paragraphs.
And so. This is also news that's been buried on page 4.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hit it deep. No one ever goes to this page.
And this was a Wednesday paper?
Yeah.
I hope they didn't bother to publish this daily. I think they could comfortably pull this back to a weekly.
The people need to know about potato elixirs.
I think this is a bi-weekly paper.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
It's also crazy that that's all they were able to come up with.
Oh, wait a minute.
You could pull it back to just an annual thing where it's like a when you send out a letter it's about your family.
A family newsletter is what this should be.
This could easily be a Christmas card.
Yeah.
So
it's a Facebook post.
Are you ready for the headline?
Sure.
Whined like a dog. New Brunswick, New Jersey, a most distressing death from hydrophobia occurred at Dunellen. Hydrophobia. Okay, well, I've read a lot about hydrophobia in these papers. Miss Sarah Pope, mother of Elias Pope, recently confirmed by the Senate as postmaster of Plainfield was the boy. I cannot read that word. Sometimes they're blurry. Victim. Oh, must be victim. She was bitten by a pet dog in December last, and the wound was cauterized. At the time, cauterized at the time, and afterward...
It's good to just leave that open and then just seal it. That's the what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. And afterward, it healed. So, you know, she got bit by a dog in December. Mm-hmm. They cauterized it, which is what you do with a dog.
Mm-hmm.
With a
you dog leave it bite. Be. You, yep. You get, cauterize leave the hair, it. Make sure there's some hair in there for safety.
And then it healed.
Make sure that it hurts.
Yeah. If it hurts, it's done.
If you've been bit by a dog, we should just make you feel a lot of pain.
You know, the only way to close that dog wound is to use a dog's mouth to sort of cinch it shut. So I recommend three dog stitches.
Not every case is as easy as piles. There's almost incurable illnesses like dog bites, you see. All we know to do is scar a person.
I believe it's somehow pile related, even though you're pushing back. I know a dog bit you. This is still piles.
She has, there's clearly like a horseshoe ring of teeth marks in her arm, and she's like, it hurts, piles. It hurts. Ah, piles. Next.
Piles, piles. Potatoes, get out. Piles, next.
Potatoes and carpet rubs.
Lay with some spring carpet. You'll be fine.
How do you think they came to be called piles?
I mean...
The names of those diseases, yeah, piles, dropsy, like what?
Piles is hemorrhoids.
Was there just like 14-year-old people naming these things?
Yeah. They're called doctors.
But piles is like out of control hemorrhoids where they're like, piled up on your asshole.
I did not.
They piled up on top of you.
I did not know that's what we were talking about.
What did you think it was?
I mean, I thought it was like some sort of like, I thought it was like a skin thing, but I didn't realize it was control hemorrhoids. Fuck. Shoot me in the stomach.
Do you want me to shoot you in the stomach? That's not
a
cure.
I'm saying I don't want to live my life with what in this era would be defined as you've got in control hemorrhoids.
This was a very advanced time where that out of this came cars and airplanes and radios and stuff. They're in the middle of a bunch of breakthroughs. They have elite, like high functioning telegraph machines all over the world. They have undersea telegraph cables and stuff.
And cities.
They have steel ships all around the world, fast steel ships. This is the peak.
And a woman getting bitten by a dog is, whoa.
Well, she's dead.
Well, that's a death sentence. Kiss her goodbye. She ain't coming back from that. And if she does, she'll be part dog lady.
So Mrs. Pope, who was 78 years old, suddenly conceived
the idea that should be in the paper in its own right.
That she was 78?
Yeah.
It's a big one. That's a big one. She suddenly conceived the idea that she would die of rabies. She was prostrated with nervousness and exhibited all the symptoms of hydrophobia, barking and frothing at the mouth.
Oh, so it's rabies?
Yeah, I think it is rabies.
Miss
Sarah Pope.
Oh, Poor Mrs. Pope. Poor Mrs. Pope. Bit by a dog.
Death by bite.
Dr. Payne of Plainfield.
I'm sorry. The name is Dr. Payne in this era? That is quite a title in this era.
I'm really not good at this. Yeah. Cauterize the woman entirely.
I have a mild cold. Cauterize.
I don't like that she keeps saying it's a dog bite. Also, cauterize that mouth when you get around to it.
Now, this is going to hurt.
Dr. Payne and Butterfield hate each other.
Oh, Butterfield, let me guess. He said it was piles? Now, bend over. I'm going to put a scalpel in your ass.
That's Dr. Payne cauterizing everything he comes into contact with?
It's not how you deal with piles, Payne.
He ought to have his surgeon's fingers cauterized, if you ask me.
Dr. Payne and Dr. Gaston were called in. Their diagnosis encouraged the belief that it was a case of emotional hydrophobia brought on by the terror of the real malady. So they think it's psychological. They're like, well, you're out of your fucking mind.
She has what we call rabies of the soul.
It's a mental rabies.
I have treated these cases of rabies from France all around the world in locations that are impossible to verify.
You know, I don't even think there was a dog to begin with. This is pure psychosomatic rabies.
Folks, it's a pure psyop. None of this... It's that funny that none of this rises... None of this this news is, like, important or enough to have conspiracy theories developed about it.
Yeah, but it is so true that, like...
The official story is that it was rabies, hydrophobia, but let me tell you, folks...
You can totally see. That's why we're selling a home cauterizing kit right now. InfoWars, get your own home cauterizing stuff. This is the shit. I use this every time I work out.
It's the ice barons. The ice barons are actually making winter take longer. We're seeing the geese flying overhead. There's a potato.
You're going to need to get your stock up on potato elixir now, guys. This is not going to be the kind of thing you want to try to impulse buy in 6 months, okay? Yeah, load up now on potato elixir.
I'm more virile than I've ever been.
I've never fucked so much carpet.
We will never submit to paying for carpet cuttings that are part of the process of making a carpet. We will never submit to that tyranny.
Oh my God!
You Wilkes Barrelist scum!
You need to get some of these.
Submit to your Wilkes Barre conspiracy.
Butterfield potato elixir. This is the only stuff that I'm using now.
Oh,
it is. I mean, it really is just like that. It is. You could hear Alex Jones read this paper, and if he just edited a little bit, you'd buy it.
The pet dog was killed.
Fuck.
Finally, finally some justice.
Yeah, I didn't know they bit.
And the old lady grew worse.
Wow.
Although, I don't know what this word is. It's so blurry. Although, enfeebled by age.
He bit me, and suddenly, now he's mine to take. That's for the sheriff to decide.
All I can think of is the Wicked Witch in Wizard of Oz who gets bit by Toto.
She suddenly became possessed of almost superhuman strength, and it required several persons to restrain her while afflicted with spasms of fear. Nothing could
dog
remove
by girl,
her.
Dog by girl. She's 78 years old. Bitten by a dog.
Your wife is no longer with us. She is a dog woman.
I have dog strength.
The strength of a dog.
Here, rub her rib. Does her leg move? She's too far gone.
Nothing would remove from her mind the impression that hydrophobia would result from the bite. And while in one of her hysterical periods, she gave forth the sound similar to the whining of a dog and shortly afterwards expired.
They are really knocking on the door of accusing her of becoming a dog.
Yeah, no, they're saying she's inside. They're inside, like she's
got
a dog.
Yeah, she's got dog strength. She's squealing like we believe that before she passed, it's like a zombie bite. It's like when you're just like, look, kill me quick. I'm about to turn dog. Hurry!
I want to see those two doctors after they failed. And it turns out that she obviously did have rabies and just died.
Yeah, she clearly had rabies.
Well, let's retire. Could I take you out, Dr. Gaston, for a glass of ice to go over our recent medical victories?
I suppose. I mean, I think it's safe to say we both might have missed the mark back there a little bit. There could be a third category of illness if we think about it.
And yet we learned something to advance science further, Dr. Gaston.
That's what I like what about that? Today. Today was a big step for medical.
Medical's a big step backward for the woman bitten and for the dog. But yeah, a big step forward for science in general.
Yeah, pour a little ice out for her, obviously. She's no longer with us. throw her in that pile with that other dog. They're both dogs now.
The ice baron comes along and he's like, hey, yes, two glasses of ice? That will be $10 apiece. That's a year's wage for a doctor. Yes, yes. The ice may freeze, but the price, I'm afraid, does not.
The ice I control, the price I don't.
Get your ice out of here. This is a potato job.
You know, the bad news is we believe the dog was turning into the 78-year-old woman before we shot it. It's the classic vice versa body switch. We Freaky Friday'd.
Oh, well, that was the Middletown time.
Wow, what a popping town to have three things
what's
happen
it called
in
again?
The Middletown Times Press of Middletown, New York, March 1890.
I mean, I'm sitting here mocking them going, well, fools. The Mr. and Mrs. went into town, and it's like, well, what the fuck is all the stuff about Brad Pitt and Angelina all of those years?
No, right. They, yeah, like Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson. Town. I mean, you could argue that this is a more, in ways, more informative than going on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love
Royal baking powder. Absolutely pure.
Oh, God, the ads are just the craziest.
Do you have a source for these claims?
Yeah, so it doesn't look like anything a front page would look like today. It's just a.
Oh, like, the ads are amazing. Have you read the law?
Ads.
Old dogs, young dogs, big dogs, and little dogs fit into collars. William Millsbaugh and Sons. Fuck. It really, I mean, it's a lot like how it would be. It's a lot like pop-up ads, essentially. I mean, they're all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like pop-up ads that are just printed out.
Yeah, they're just like, you can't close the window. You just got to go like, all right, there's a dog collar ad.
You know, people didn't have any other way to find out who did what, so the paper just had all the shit in town on the front page.
But all over. There was eventually someone who was like, what if we do news in one area and we make it interesting up top to grab them, and then it'll be diminishing as we further into the paper. Someone's like, wow. Are you talking about like an order? That's a crazy call. That's nuts. Separate it, sort of categorize. Okay, sure.
This was the Saturday evening paper. This is a weekend's entertainment.
Had to get this out the door quick.
It costs $6 a year or 50 cents a month.
Wow, fuck. Wow. And it's still not worth it.
It says daily volume. That means this is a daily paper.
Oh, it is
well,
daily?
Well, that helps. I feel like that's better because that shows you that they really are just like every day. They're like, we got to find something. What do we got? Lady bit by dog. Boom. Ready. Clairvoyant doctor.
I don't need a standard lady bit by dog story. If it's going to bite, she needs to foam at the mouth.
How am I going to go? How am I supposed to go from an elixir into a lady dying from a goddamn dog bite?
Yeah, so in the archive I use, they only have it every 4 days. So, but it must be a daily then if it says it.
Well, they certainly could have pulled back, I think.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it's delicious. James, thank you so much for joining us for the Past Times podcast. Like we said, Jay Adomian for shows and for, I mean, really, you're, as you can tell from listening to this, your impressions and your characters are fucking phenomenal. So that's a great place to go and watch that stuff.
Yeah. Jay Adomian on Instagram. There's a variety of things I do, from cartoons to live appearances and other things, and, you know, Jimmy Kimmel appearances. And,
oh man,
it's a fun circus.
I mean, again, there's so much, but James was Mike Lindell on Kimmel, and you were on Kimmel as Mike Lindell with Mike Lindell.
So good.
That was weird, because I thought he was going to be like difficult or hostile.
Yeah.
But he did the thing where he was just like, "Oh boy, oh gosh, I'm just bashful to be on TV, wow."
As you're ripping pillows in front of him.
Yes, I was making him look terrible, and he was just like, "Wowie, wow, what a treat it is to be on the TV.
Hollywood Boulevard, looking at me." Well, thank you again, James. We appreciate it so much.
And, thank you, Gareth. Thank you, Dave.
Thank
you, not the dollop.
Yeah, right. Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
Nothing like the dollop.
No, it's completely different. This is totally separate, obviously. Actually, we might sue ourselves is what we're talking about.
That's right.
I'm going to sue Dave's ass.
Sue you, sue everybody.
I had my glasses.
Some of these days, you'll miss me, honey.